We cruise on down to Morton Street, into the Fernandez Plaza we go, into City Hall, and there behind the desk is the mayor of the city of Bloomington. It's our great friend, John Hamilton. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good to be with you another Tuesday afternoon. I'm fine. I hope everyone's well.
This is not just an ordinary Tuesday. This is move-in week. This is welcome week. Our city, our fair town, swells back into city status as we welcome, 45,000 or so Indiana University students, faculty, and staff back to it. Well, that means active times in traffic and active times with just the population running everywhere. But you know what? That's what makes Bloomington an exciting place to be.
It is that time of year. I so far, have done a bunch of these. I went to a class of Professor Paul Helmke, a former mayor.
Fort Wayne.
Welcomed 50 or so of his students to their civic engagement stuff, and I got to see them all bright-eyed and ready to go this morning. It was fun fielding questions and knowing they're part of a big exodus into our community. So,
and we're welcome. Well, everybody, welcome to town. Take a deep breath. Read the signs. Don't turn on red. Don't run us over. We can all do this together, but it is fun. It brings the vibrancy back to it. And one of the great times of year. We have a weird calendar, as you know. It kind of starts in the first week of August, and it kind of slows down after the first week of May. We're not on that traditional, hey, it's New Year's Day, let's go get that new year. Heck, that's the middle of the year for us.
Yeah, it's a little different. I was driving up Eagleson today and saw a person waiting patiently with their left turn signal coming south, planning to turn left on 3rd Street, and I slowed down and I said, that's the wrong direction, honked at him. They started, but they didn't go all the way, so you're going to see a lot of that.
You got to give them a little nudge, right? Just kind of, hey,
look up.
Let's not do all that just yet. Yeah. So it is a busy time of year, and we know that.
It's exciting, too, though, isn't it, having everybody back and having the new, you got 9,000-10,000 new people who've never been here before, not much, and ready to experience the city. It's great.
And we can point them to all of the great great and fun things we do. It's just not about coming to school, obviously. It's about enjoying all the parks and all the festivals and all the fun that goes along with that. We've got plenty of those coming up, including next week, the big Thursday night show at Switchyard, the Molly Tuttle. That's a big Grammy Award winner. I mean, that's going to be with everybody in town. Now, it's going to be 90. I'm going to try to work on that for everyone.
Ooh.
But you know what? You'd rather be warm than cold.
There you go. There's a splash pad.
Dive in with both. There are no lifeguards at the splash pad, folks. Hang on. So make sure that you're well aware of that. On our list of things to do from last week that we could not we couldn't squeeze in there at the end, and I did a bad job of forgetting this, and I forget something every week. I always remind myself of it when you're getting ready to hang up and move on with your day. But the big city survey, what do they call it when it's every 2 years? I want to say
biannual.
Biannual.
Let's do it.
Why do you do it, and what did we learn in this edition?
Yeah, I started this right at the beginning. So this is our fourth biannual survey, and the reason we did it was we wanted a scientific survey of attitudes of people about services they get, their views of the community. I'm really glad we're doing it. We've kept doing it. I hope it will keep going to keep building up data. The more you get, we keep asking the same questions, the more you learn. Some things change. Some things stay the same. We are also able to measure ourselves against benchmark cities and national averages. And I think this year the basics were we continue to have in our residents, and again, this is kind of a scientific survey of the right number of people and range of ages and, all that stuff, demographics, really continue to have a very high quality of life view of this city as a place to live and place to tell people to live. Great amenities. We continue to see people care a lot about certain issues, homelessness and housing affordability. Every survey is a high level of concern. People want to see it fixed, and I get that. People strongly support city action to try to fix it. We saw some slippage on how safe people felt and how how they felt about kind of the, you know, the gun violence. And we may mention that we had a shooting a couple of days ago, not a big injury, but we saw some of that. Anyway, I'll let you start asking questions too. I don't want to rattle it all through, you know.
But
it's really good. It's scientific, and I have
that's
the last
thing
I'll say. It's a little scary because politicians don't always like to give fodder to, you know. You can always find something that's not as good, and somebody will emphasize that. But I think it's important to build up, and I hope people can treat it as a learning exercise. It's not a gotcha exercise. It's like, how do we get better? Let's find what's going on and fix it.
To put it in context, when was this survey distributed? Is this the one that was back in March?
Yeah, February, March, April. So it's been a little while.
So it hasn't, but it wasn't 2 years ago, and we've just gotten the data
Correct.
Back to that. So some of the things that jumped off the page, obviously, with public safety and the homelessness issue, there seems to be a disconnect on who's in charge of what. I see the reactions on social media. I talk to people on the streets. I don't know if we as a community need to have a big whiteboard flow chart so everybody can see what's going on, but who is – let's start with the lack of housing issue. We know driving by the parks daily, we can see with our own eyes what's happening there. Who is in charge of – making sure the rules are followed, establishing those rules, because I think people do get confused on that.
Yeah, look, it's complicated. I mean, I had some questions from some of the students this morning about that, and the long and the short of it is these kinds of issues that we see downtown, for example, who's responsible? Well, the federal government has a big role to play. The state government has a role to play. The county government has a role to play. And the local government, city government, has a role to play. If we had a lot of time, I could talk about how important the decline of investment in mental health facilities that's been true across the country over the last 50 years, and the change of institutionalization that's been over the last 40 and 50 years at the state level that we haven't. They were institutions that needed to be replaced. We closed the institutions, but we didn't do enough to improve the community services on mental health. You know, we would like more vouchers for our public housing. We put 1,400 people into housing, but we got waiting lists. If we got more federal support, we could do 2,500, you know. So, and then public health is a huge issue overall. So, and the survey just, you know, it can't capture all that. But it does make clear that the people of Bloomington want investment and support and government action to try to deal with homelessness and mental health issues. So it's an encouragement, for example, for us who can, to say, well, let's try to do some things. Let's try to move forward, invest some money.
But as you mentioned, it cannot be just one governmental arm taking on that entire responsibility. It has
You really can't. I mean, if you had one city in Indiana that decided we're going to fix mental health and substance use disorder and we're going to spend a whole bunch of money on it, well, you know, you might get cities nearby that say, hey, we don't have to do that. Let's let them do that. And that's not a good long-term strategy. So you really do need some consistent efforts across states, across the country. But, you know, we're making progress. The point in time count on homelessness actually shows a slight decline in homelessness over the last several years in Bloomington. So I really try to make the point that what you're seeing often on our streets is more a mental health and public health and substance use disorder issue than a purely housing issue. We have shelter beds. We don't have a large number increase. It's actually going down in terms of point-in-time homelessness. But we have more pathologies and more big problems, and we see more problems, I think, primarily because of public health and fentanyl and some of the extreme substances that are running through our city.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He joins us Tuesdays just after 4:05. Well, there had to be some encouraging things you saw in the survey as well. What jumped off on that side of the page?
Well, one of the really nice things, and it doesn't surprise me, but I'm very proud of it, is that people basically said when we interact with anybody from the city of Bloomington employment, we have a very positive interaction. They were very high, lauding the courteousness and knowledge and responsiveness of employees. Like 8 out of 10 said they gave very high marks on that. It's encouraging that city government, while not everybody likes what we do, we're more highly rated than county government, state government, federal government, some by a big margin, and so we like seeing that. But, you know, it's always good to take the good, but also see what we learn and see what we can fix about things.
What do you do?
Oh, one other thing.
Yeah, good.
One other thing. This is interesting. It may surprise people. So we ask people, of these four things, what's most important? What do you view highly as important for the city to focus on? One was high-speed internet. One was the Hopewell neighborhood. One was the Trades District. And one was the convention center. And those first three, about two-thirds of people said, I really want the city focusing on that. High-speed internet, the Hopewell development, Trades District, and jobs. The convention center, less than 1 out of 5 said that matters. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, we talk about that a lot, and I do think it's important. I support it. But the public, nah, they just don't see it as that important.
The convention center was mentioned less than 20%?
Yep, as saying that's an important priority. I think it's just a lot of people, it's not in their daily life, and when they compare it to, but it's interesting, you know, compared to Trades District, which was very highly rated for jobs and high-tech growth and also, you know, it is important. This is you sometimes get out of your bubble and you hear what a scientific survey shows you.
And that's the point of doing it, correct? You don't want to have an echo chamber. You want to hear what the unnamed people, then the reason they are unnamed and it's scientific, is so you get the most honest answer.
Yeah, I was at a mayor's conference a few months ago, and somebody used a phrase I hadn't heard before, and they said, oh, we did public feedback. We did the STP treatment. I said, what is STP? And they said, it's the same 10 people treatment. You know?
I like that.
You do get a lot of, sometimes a non-representative voices can predominate sometimes. And so this is one way to try to get a scientific response. So I appreciate people reading it. You can always look at it. Appreciate the people who take it also, take the time. We really do take it seriously.
What about the unscientific part of it?
Uh-huh. We do offer an unscientific poll that anybody can fill out. I have to confess, I haven't gone through that one to compare it. I know a couple versions ago, it wasn't dramatically different from the scientific one, but I just really focus on the data that we know is most representative, because I get unscientific polls all the time. It's called Facebook or telephone calls or whatever.
I was going to say, you don't have to wait for the invitation sometimes, right? It's right there at your...
At the grocery store sometimes.
Right. The man's just trying to get groceries, folks. And again, make sure it's the right messenger. Because there's some discourse right now on the old social media sites about what's happening at Seminary Park and the other things. And as I have read it and understand it, and I'm glad you're here to help me with it today, that goes through the Parks Commission, correct, on who can do what at what times of day? And that's interesting, because I know everybody throws it at you because you're in charge of the city. Tell them how it works.
Well, so an issue like Seminary Square, and you may be referencing
the camping, you can camp this and do that, right?
And tents and such. So, you know, a couple years ago, the city council voted on whether to allow camping in parks, because the city council can override the parks board. The city council can override a number of places because ultimately they're accountable for the money and the people. And so they did that vote a couple years ago, saying we're not going to override and allow camping in city parks against the park rules. Now we're actually reviewing whether or not to change and not allow closed tent structures. This is really driven by public safety. Concerns about things happening with young people in the parks, concern about abuse of folks happening where we can't see what's happening in the parks. So that is going through the parks board to decide those rules in city parks. The city council, it's important to remember, could, if they wanted, based upon what the parks board does, the city council could step in and say, we disagree. We're gonna override that. But if they don't, then the parks determination stands. Similarly, the Board of Public Works, which is a three-person board that oversees all the public rights of way in the city, they can set some rules on what happens in the public rights of way. But again, City Council could step in and override if they chose to. The mayor's job in a lot of this, apart from appointing people to those boards, is to propose things to those boards. We have staff and we have research and program proposals that we propose to them, but ultimately those resident members who sit in those boards vote and decide those things.
So when they yell at you to do something, what can you do?
Well, sometimes people want me to propose a change, right? Because most of those boards, they depend on our staff to suggest things. So that's fair, that's appropriate. If they want me to, I can't change the way City Council votes, and I can't change the way generally those boards vote. They're meant to be a public accountable entity, so it's good to talk to council members and board members who vote on that. But we do, we do feed suggestions and program analysis and things like that to those boards and to the council.
There you go, folks. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. Do something, do something, do something. That's the main cry. When things don't work, the buck has to stop somewhere, and yeah. I understand that, and that does make sense. You brought up Hopewell there. We know how important that is going to be to the development of the next, 20, 30 years? I don't even want to put a date on that. Yeah. And you have city council members and county council members. We're trying to figure out where to start this jail process. The headline says from Indiana Public Media, Commissioner, City Council narrow in on new jail site. I think you would have to be happy that the Hopewell neighborhood was essentially rejected from all of that.
Well, I think Hopewell is not a good place for the jail for a number of reasons, and one of the main ones is we bought it and had a huge public process to think about what to do with it, and we've done a lot of planning and investment, and we're well into the way, so I think that was not a well-thought-out proposal, and I'm glad we're starting to zero in. I will say I continue to believe that we are doing two things wrong in this process. Number one, I believe we ought to immediately be investing in a lot of the things that can keep people out of jail, help people stay out of jail, and that's investing in the job training, investing in the mental health counseling, investing in the substance use disorder that I think we desperately need, and we ought to be doing that right now. You don't have to wait for a new jail. And second, I think we ought to be trying to build as small a jail as we can get away with. We need a good jail. It's a terrible situation we have now, but the talk of spending 25 acres of land for this, I just think is really misguided and can be done much differently. So I still think there's a lot of work to be done. On good days, I count myself lucky that I'm not in charge of that jail. That's a big, complicated place. But I also think if a mayor before me had been in charge of that jail, or if I inherited it, we would have moved quickly to get that situation improved. It's complicated. It's one of the circumstances where if you have so many cooks in the kitchen, it's hard to get hard projects done.
Whose responsibility at the end of the day is that? I know it's in the city limits, so everybody has to work together, but it's called the county jail. Am I misinterpreting that?
Ultimately, it's the sheriff is in charge of the jail and runs the jail. The county commissioners own the jail and will decide and have the money to change that along with county council oversight. So it's really a combination of the sheriff and the county commissioners. Now, you have judges. Their judges' offices are in the current justice building. So, they're involved in their courts and stuff. So I get it. It's complicated. But I think the fact that we've had this jail problem for more than 15 years kind of reflects the fact that it's hard to get stuff done in county government sometimes.
And the city part of this is just because of the actual physical location. Okay.
That's really it. I mean, obviously our police department interacts with the jail significantly, but that's basically as customers, if you will. I mean, we bring people to the jail and to the justice system, but our role is really just because of the location, which we do think is good in the city, and we've been working closely to try to find good locations. But, we're not, like I've wanted to sit down and really explore, do we really need 25 acres? That's a very different model from what right now it sits on 2 acres. And, like, you know, are we sure we really need to do that? Do we really need a much larger jail? Can't we do things to reduce the need for jail? America is very over-incarcerated compared to the rest of the world. Indiana is over-incarcerated. Bloomington is over-incarcerated when you look at kind of big data questions. And I think we could do better to invest in some of the things that help people avoid jail, succeed out of jail, and quickly get out.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He joins us every Tuesday from City Hall. And the Showers Plaza downtown, headquarters, new headquarters for the police department. There's a video that's been making the rounds on social media suggesting that you are ramrodding this project through and it needs to be done before you are out of office. There's two sides to every story, isn't there?
Well, look, this was a close vote, some may remember. The council voted 5-4. To buy the Showers building. We proposed it and support it, but some people did not want to do it, and that included some of the police leadership of the unions who really wanted their own building. That's a great thing to talk about. I believe strongly in integrating the police with the whole city government and making sure everybody knows we're all one team and that we all work together and doing that in practice. So there are some people who I think are not really ever in favor of this move, but the council voted in December and January to do this. We sold bonds. That money is sitting there ready to use. We're moving forward expeditiously. Everybody's at the table at different times, from frontline police officers, union leadership, city administration, police chief, fire chief are all at the table at different times trying to figure out how to do this. It's complicated, but the plan is to get it designed and under construction by the end of this year. It will take, I expect, probably 2024 to build it. But I think it's going to be a terrific addition to the city, a terrific asset. I know not everybody agrees, but we went with the vote. The council said do it, so I'm undertaking it and doing it as efficiently and as well as we can.
Who at that table, who should have the loudest voice in the design and how it should work and everything else, in your opinion?
Well, so it's kind of interesting. Think about if you're building a new addition to a house or an office. Everybody should have some input, but you can't have a process where everybody says, I want A, B, and C, and that person says, I want D, E, and F, and you have to pay attention to cost, you have to pay attention to fairness and balance. So we want input from frontline police officers, from the union, from the detectives, from the evidence, from the clerks who do the record keeping, from the social workers, from the chief of police. We also need the police, the fire department's input, but then ultimately we, who are responsible for building it in the city administration and the money to make sure it comes in under budget, we have to make those decisions. So it's corralling a bunch of opinions and views and trying to come out with a great product at the end. I mean, our goal is to have a police station that the public appreciates and is welcome into, that the workers in, from police officers to records clerk, feel great about coming to work, and that is an efficient use of a building. So it's complicated. Everybody needs to be involved, but ultimately the city administration, the mayor, and my team have to make decisions about how to put it all together.
There you go, folks. We have covered almost every base today. We try to do that in a quick time frame. I really appreciate your time and taking my questions, even as dopey as they can be at some points here.
I love government. I've worked in it a lot. Government belongs to all of us. It's not some enemy or occupying group. It's us. And everybody who's in government is part of us. And so I love explaining it and answering questions and appreciate everybody's interest in it. And just remember, it's ours. You know, it belongs to us. So if we don't like it, let's change it. If we do like it or whatever, get involved in it, you know.
Get involved is a great way. And that's how we can hopefully shed light on the process. And having you every Tuesday just after 4:05 to, again, as I always tell people, you might not like the answer, but you will get an answer. And I think the discourse, that does go along, because you can get both sides, all sides, get it out there in the open and try to make the best decision for all. And I think that gets lost sometimes. It's the greater good. And, well, I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, just as a reminder, you know, we don't all agree, but I love the fact that in that survey, people said, when I engage with a city employee, I have a really good experience overall. And that's from police officers to planners to, you know, hand inspectors. And even, you know, obviously we do things some people don't like give out parking tickets. But we want to be courteous. And I really
appreciate
that.
Oh, yeah, the trash.
That.
I forgot about the trash. You raised the trash. I'll be quick with this one.
Yeah,
let's. Can we just do incrementally instead of these big, large swaths, or does it just not work that way? Is it a rate thing that you have to vote on each time? Why can't we just raise it $1 a month for a year instead of $28 up front?
So there's two things going on, and the answer to the first part of that is yes. We absolutely ought to do it incrementally. You know, just like your loaf of bread usually costs a little more a year from now than it does today, right? And that's relevant. It's what we do with our water service, et cetera. However, there's also this second thing going on with the trash, which is there's a philosophical debate going on in the council about whether or not all the taxpayers of the city should help pay for the trash pickup that goes to homeowners and 1-4 unit owners, because that's a philosophical debate. Right now, the whole city in our general tax revenue pays about $1 million a year or so to help subsidize the cost of picking up sanitation and recycling. Some people think that, well, that really should be paid for by the people who get it, because if you live in an apartment building, you pay for your trash pickup and your recycling pickup if they have a recycling pickup. It's built into your rent, or if you have you have to privately contract for it, et cetera. So that philosophical debate is what's prompting the larger questions of bigger increases. And the council kind of kicked the can down the road and said, let's just do some incremental, not just inflation, but not also enough to mean we're paying our way, but doing it a bit of time. And maybe that's the right solution. You know, it's kind of let's pick it up. But they're both those things going on, inflation plus this philosophical debate.
It's not easy. It's never easy. It's the joke I made, I think, was, you know, we're not going to come around with the produce scale and weigh it. And you do like you do for if you're buying,
right.
If you're buying, you know, lemons or limes at the market. It has to be a bigger picture, greater good than what is best for me. And sometimes that argument's never going to be won, and I understand that. So
yeah, they're different views, and that's okay, you know, but that's why we have votes and elections. And one little fact that surprised me, and I'll bet it'll surprise a lot of your people, if you took all the city's sanitation collection and compared it to the county overall generation of landfill waste, we are 5% of the volume, the whole city sanitation collection. Because there's so much other flows from private contractors, from construction and construction debris and institutional also. We're kind of debating all about this when, you know, our goal should be to try to reduce the flow of waste into landfills and that kind of thing, but we're just a tiny piece of it.
That is just a tiny piece of it, but that's, again, some existential questions. What do we do with that? What do we do with this? What do we do with... Well, we'll try to figure it out next Tuesday. Will you come back and join us?
I'll do it.